Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Hour number three on a Thursday. Hope you're having a great one. We're halfway home. If you're a 9-to-5er or an 8-to-5er or a 7-to-5er, God love you. We hope you're already home. Big shout out to our military folks out there. Thank you for your service. If you're a first responder, thank you for your service. And if you're driving those big old trucks without air conditioning and you're loading stuff all day and you're doing physical work all day long, thank you for that as well. And thank you for listening to
like
the
us.
Show. Yes, that's right. We do the heavy lifting each and every day.
These are just too many papers.
Papers get heavy. People don't know. When you put enough paper together, it gets really, really heavy.
It does, which is why we have paper weights.
That's right. Paper weights, small of the back.
Someone is a millionaire out. Someone is in Hawaii and has $20 million in their bank account, and they go to Spain and ready to do anything they want because they've made money off paperweights.
Paperweights.
I thought about that the other day. All these weird industries. The shoelace thing. Agrum?
The grommet?
The grommet.
Mm-hmm.
It's close.
Yeah, that little thing.
Just turning around. Right. Someone made a lifetime off of that. Like an incredible lifetime.
It's big time. I wish one of my parents had invented one of those things, because then I wouldn't have to worry about it.
No.
I could just come do this if I wanted to, and only if I wanted to.
We probably still would.
Yeah,
I probably still would.
Yeah, I probably still would.
I'd take off. I'd have a Bucky schedule, but I'd still do it.
True. I would definitely call J.D. Lewis and still talk fantasy football, though.
Of course.
Let's go to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk with J.D. Lewis. It's at J.D. Lewis Radio if you want to tweet him outside of this segment. But right now, the Specs text line is ready for you. 337-3776. Send us your fantasy questions. J.D., how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Kind of a ho-hum game tonight, Thursday night. But, other than that, there's still some matchups in there that are going to be good. Still some players that you're going to have to play.
Well, see, I was just about to ask you, if somebody's got a guy in tonight's game, do you look down on him as a fantasy player? Or is it so specific that's not, do you make fun of him on the message boards or not?
If they've got a guy playing in a Thursday night game, or if they have like a 49er.
No, tonight's matchup.
Just with these, no. If they have someone on the Rams or Niners that they're counting on.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two guys. You have Todd Gurley and Carlos Hyde, and those guys are both really kind of top. Todd Gurley's probably a top six running back, and Carlos Hyde's probably a top 12 just because of the matchup. But those are still both guys that you probably don't have another great option, and you're going to go with them. If you have two guys that you're deciding between, and one is Carlos Hyde, and he's playing tonight, and you've got another really good option going on Sunday, I would tell you avoid the Thursday night games if possible. However, you just can't. You usually can't replace a guy like a Todd Gurley or a Carlos Hyde in your starting lineup, typically the way that the drafts unfolded. But if you think that you've got a guy that you could go with on Sunday and all things are equal, I'd rather have the guy that's got a few more days of rest on his body from last Sunday.
JD, it's Parkland Hospital 63, and we're bringing in the president. We've got some urgent messages coming in, including this one. Please ask urgent, all caps. Should I bench Cooper Kupp and start Cohen as my flex, and then Chris Carson or P. Ryan?
I would do that. I would go with Tariq Cohen over him, and then it was Chris Carson or Samaje P. Ryan.
Yeah.
I lean Chris Carson there. I think Carson is taking over that backfield. And there's still some uncertainty with both, but I think I feel better about going with Carson.
This flex question says Tyreek Hill or Chris Carson.
You still want your proven commodity. And I mean, Tyreek Hill has proven what he can do. I mean, shoot, I think he scored on like a 60 plus touchdown in five straight games dating back to last season. When I think that streak stopped last week, but he's a guy that's so explosive. You have to go with him over the uncertainty of the carries with Carson. While we think we know what he's going to do, who knows? Thomas Rawls could have a good game. CJ Cruz could get going. They may have to throw the ball a lot. There's just a lot of variables that go into that. So I go with the proven commodity.
First off, I want you to give me the old schools, Colby Fleener and Evan Ingram.
Colby Fleener is Stanford, Evan Ingram, Ole Miss.
Very good.
You're so
good.
Good
work. Good work.
So Fleener against Carolina or Ingram against Philly?
I would sit Fleener this week. I'm really liking what Evan Ingram is doing, and really seems to be the second or maybe third option. But really, they're making a point to get him the ball. Marshall just doesn't seem like he's going to be doing much for the Giants this year. And I don't know if that's on Eli or if that's just his age starting to show, but he's not getting the targets. I mean, he's really he's a guy that, and personally, I have dropped for Evan Engram just because he looks like he's going to be more dynamic of a weapon in that offense than Marshall. And so I like Evan Engram a lot. I think I'd go ahead and go with him this week. I don't like the matchup of Fleener against Carolina, and they cover the tight ends pretty well.
We're talking with J.D. Lewis, Fantasy Football Talk here. J.D., this says DeMar.
That big detail, though, at the end, though.
What's that?
Like the little things that J.D. will bring you. They cover the tight ends well. Well, yeah, that's kind of big.
Oh, absolutely. DeMarco Murray or Jonathan Stewart?
Well, you got to keep an eye on DeMarco Murray. He's questionable with a soft tissue injury. He'll probably play, but I think you'll see Derrick Henry eat into his snaps, and so more so than he already does. And that doesn't necessarily – I mean, if Derrick Henry – if DeMarco Murray doesn't play, Derrick Henry becomes a must-start. Otherwise, Mularkey still made it very clear that, hey, DeMarco's the starter and Derrick Henry's the backup. So you got to monitor that situation. Hard to answer that right this second. I like Jonathan Stewart this week. Hard to argue against the New Orleans Saints run defense and really just defense in general. So I think some points get scored in that game. So I like Jonathan Stewart. Go with him for now. But if DeMarco Murray is if they say he's fully healthy by this Sunday, you're probably going to go with Murray.
Standard league, two wide receivers and a flex. You got to pick three from Crabtree, Ty Hill, AJ Green, and Devontae Parker.
I still think AJ Green is a must start each and every week. His ceiling is just so high. So you go him, and when you're looking for touchdowns in a standard league, Crabtree just, man, that guy's a magnet for touchdowns. So Crabtree and AJ Green, and then I'm picking a flex between who are the rest of the guys?
You got Crabtree, Ty Hill. You got you like Green and Crabtree, so it'd be Ty Hill and Devontae Parker.
Yeah, and I think the Dolphins are going to score some points against the Jets. I would lean Devontae Parker there. Well, you know, the Chiefs are also going to be at L.A. They're going to have to score some points, too. I got to go Tyreek Hill there. I like Parker, but Tyreek Hill is the guy that if he does get a 50, 60-yard touchdown reception, I mean, that's in a standard league. That's 12 points like that.
J.D., for Texans and Cowboys fans that have those guys in fantasy, any particular Cowboys and Texans you like this week in the matchups? Houston's going to New England. That's got to be tough.
I don't like the running backs for Houston just because I think that the Patriots are going to score some points. I think the Texans are really going to feel the loss of Cushing. You know, a couple of their corners still dealing with some injuries. I think the Patriots are going to score some points. So what that brings me to my point is I do like DeAndre Hopkins. I think that the Texans are going to have to throw the ball. And probably going to be down most of the game. So I like that because the Texans are going to have to really draw out the clock as much as they can.
How about Tampa Bay or Pittsburgh's defense?
If Sam Bradford is not going, I love Tampa Bay's defense. If Sam Bradford's playing and they're at home against Tampa Bay, it's a little bit different of a story there. In that case, I'd go with the other one. But if Bradford's out, definitely go with the Buccaneers.
J.D., this one says, out of Fournette, Hyde, and C.J. Anderson, which running back do I bench?
Ooh. Hyde, this is a perfect example of when you've got Leonard Fournette, even though he's going up against the Ravens, he's at home. They're going to commit to the run. He's going to be the goal line back. And in this case, I think it's pretty equal between Hyde and Fournette. And because Hyde's playing Thursday night, I'd lean Fournette.
All right. Someone says, I have Stephon Diggs, Alshon Jeffery, or Deontay Foreman as a flex. Tell me what I need to hear.
Alshon Jeffery, I love where Deontay Foreman is trending. I think that ultimately, if Lamar Miller continues to play the way that he has, I think Deontay Foreman's going to take over that backfield by the end of the season. But we don't know what he's going to get in terms of carries this week. I kind of need to see that for a few weeks before I feel good about it. I go Alshon Jeffery there, and tell me the first guy again.
First guy would have been Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and Diggs is the same story. If Bradford's playing, then it's a much more difficult conversation to have. If Bradford plays, I probably would go Diggs. If he's not playing, then I'm definitely going to go Alshon Jeffery.
Okay. All right, J.D., you may need to explain this question to me. Any quarterback to pick up for Russell Wilson, what does that mean?
People are disappointed with Russell Wilson and really with the Seahawks offense in general.
Okay.
The same exact thing happened last year with the Seahawks, where for the first 6-7 weeks, they just did not look very good. They were trying to run the ball. They were trying to do some things that you just can't do with a poor offensive line. And their injury that they had at the beginning of the season to Allen, I think it's Allen Fant, that has decimated them. They're going to have to start dropping back and throwing a lot more. But people, I get, are freaking out. 2 weeks in a row, Russell Wilson, they haven't scored a touchdown. What are you going to do? The guys that you can pick up are, in my opinion, aren't going to be a better option than sticking with Russell Wilson, because it's going to click at some point, in my opinion. That Seahawks offense is just too talented not to click at some point and just start getting into shotgun and slinging the ball around to Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham like they did last year.
Got a couple here. First off, JD, Amarillo High or Tascosa? Go Rebels.
Amarillo High.
All right, here's another one. Here's a trade they were offered. Fournette for A.J. Green. Thoughts?
If you're deep at running back and you can afford to do it, I would do it. A.J. Green is, I mean, trust me, guys, the Bengals, I know how bad that they've looked, but they haven't been that much better in years past. Dalton's just been able to connect with A.J. Green. He's going to bounce back. It's A.J. Green. He's 6'4". He's a deep threat. Even if they're bad, even if they're out of games, he's gonna get looks. So if you've got two other quality starting running backs, yeah, I think that you can afford to do that. But it all depends on what the rest of your roster looks like, because if you're now going to be scrambling to find a running back the rest of the year, or your second running back the rest of the year, then it's not worth doing.
All right, JD, more begging from the people. Fournette or Cohen, PPR, please.
I love Tariq Cohen and the way that they're using him. And they've shown the guy that's really whose stock's dropping is Jordan Howard, because they're going to get the ball to Tariq Cohen. And in a PPR league, he's getting 6-7 targets a game. They're getting him out in space. He's explosive. I lean Tariq Cohen. A lot of that really is driven because Fournette is going up against the Ravens. I know Fournette over Hyde, but in that case, I like that, even though you're going against the Ravens D. But in this case, I love what Tariq Cohen's doing. He's one of the few real explosive weapons on that team.
I know you love Carson Wentz. You've talked about that. I see what you're talking about, but Trevor Siemian looked great. So here's the question, Siemian or Wentz?
Wentz. I'm not a big believer in Trevor Siemian. I think that team at heart wants to run the ball and they want to play defense, and the run is going to set up the pass. But when the run is not working, they are not good enough to just drop back and just fling the ball around. That's not what Siemian excels at. And so I just think that limits his upside a little bit. So I love Carson Wentz there.
All right, JD, this one says they need an RB2 and a flex in the PPR. Did you already ask that one, Kevin? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I have not.
No, okay. Cohen, Buck. Is Buck Allen one person?
Yeah, Buck Allen.
Buck Allen, yeah. It's Javoris Allen.
Right.
It's Buck.
Okay, my bad. Cohen, Buck Allen, Gore, Riddick, and Thielen. They need a running back and a flex in a PPR.
So Tariq Allen and Buck Allen, or Tariq Cohen and Buck Allen, I would say are the two that I would go with. Frank Gore, you know, you have Marlon Mack in there with the Colts. I'm still not buying in. Frank Gore, he just looks old. I mean, he's finally looking his age. I mean, man, that guy had found the fountain of youth for a long time. But I the Colts aren't going to score a whole lot of points. Thielen is a guy that's tied directly to Sam Bradford as well. And so right now I wouldn't be playing him. But if Bradford, we knew that he was 100% healthy and going, then you seriously consider Thielen. But I love what you're going to get in a PPR league with Tariq Cohen and the other running back.
And we did have a texter just saying, hey, just to remind you guys that the game will be in London at the crack of dawn for the Baltimore game, obviously against the
Jacksonville.
Jags. Yeah, Jacksonville game. So
the Jags will take that money whenever they can get it, right? They love playing those games.
They will. We've talked about this guy a little bit, but McCaffrey or Cohen, and this is a standard.
Yeah, I think a lot of points get scored in that by the Panthers finally against New Orleans. I would go Christian McCaffrey there, as much as I love Tariq Cohen. I think McCaffrey still has yet to have that breakout game, and it could come this weekend.
All right, JD, this one says Martellus Bennett against Cincinnati or Jason Witten against Arizona.
So I know that the Jason Witten against Arizona is a tough matchup, but Dez Bryant's going to have Patrick Peterson on him all day. So I think that your options become a little bit more limited. I think Witten's going to probably end up with 60 yards, 6 or 7 receptions. So PPR, I would go Witten. I'm not a big fan of Martellus Bennett for the Packers. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to spread it around. And I need to see more from Martellus. And he's already shown that he's not even really going to be that huge of a red zone threat necessarily. I mean, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is honing in on him or anything. And that was even, you know, with Jordy Nelson missing the whole game last week. Well, he's back, most likely going to be playing this week. That's kind of what all the signs are pointing to. So I'm not a big fan of Martellus Bennett. I don't know why, but Aaron Rodgers just – apparently he likes Richard Rodgers as his tight end. That's about the only guy that he's really ever honed into since really Jermichael Finley.
Yeah, and JD, even watching it when he was trying to get his first catch, I mean, he was trying to force it in there to him, and it just didn't feel organic. I mean, I, I kind of feel what you're saying. We've had some people that are struggling. We all can struggle in life. But in fantasy, it kind of hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Any sleepers to pick up in any position? That's been a random question we've gotten.
Well, you know, I mean, at this point in the season, a lot of the guys that we've seen play well have gotten picked up. And what I'm really focusing on right now is when people say, well, you know, drop a guy like a Brandon Marshall, whereas I don't love him necessarily going forward. Those are the kind of guys you want to keep an eye on. Maybe a Greg Olsen gets dropped or something like that. And if you have an IR spot, you could pick him up, stash him for a while. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. But I think at this point, I'm picking up the scraps that people are dropping because they're trying to go with the guy that just had a couple touchdowns, had a really big week, and we don't have any track record from. And they're cutting quality guys. I saw in the League of Mine that Eric Decker recently got cut. And that's a guy that you can then maybe go snag heap on the waiver wire. That could be an upgrade for you over a guy like a Robbie Anderson or something for the Jets. So I don't have any deep sleepers right now, but that's my strategy as other people are dropping players that they drafted to pick up free agents is to kind of go, kind of feed off those scraps.
One more from me here, JD. Macklin or Kupp?
Macklin, I think it's somewhat equal and, you know, sticking with the trend of stay away from Thursday night games. I know it's fun. It's always fun to put a guy in just so that you maybe have a little skin in the game on a Thursday night game, especially one that could potentially be low scoring like the Rams and 49ers. But again, all things equal, go with the guy that's playing on Sunday. And I think Macklin is every bit, the odds are every bit in your favor with Macklin as they would be with Kupp, and Kupp's playing Thursday night.
All right, I got two more to finish here. Pick two, Hopkins, Benjamin, Cooks, half point PPR.
Hopkins, and I'm not willing to give up on Brandon Cooks just yet. I'm going to get him this third week and to really see it. But so I'd go Hopkins and Cooks.
And then the other one, I'm curious on the latter part of this question, Joe Mixon or Chris Johnson, who has now been added, obviously.
Yeah, and Chris Johnson's rising to the top of that depth chart, which I figured he kind of would. I mean, there's no reason to pay Chris Johnson while you've got David Johnson doing all your work. But as soon as he got hurt, your best kind of first, second-round running back there is going to be Chris Johnson. You can't rely on Andre Ellington. And, I mean, shoot, they still had Kerwin Williams returning kickoffs and punts when he was supposed to be the starting running back. That was the first sign to me that Kerwin Williams wasn't really the number two, or going to be going forward. So I still need to see it from Chris Johnson. I still need to see it, and so I go with the other guy.
Okay. That is J.D. Lewis. If you are a fantasy football player and you are on Twitter, you can tweet him questions at J.D. Lewis Radio. If you're up late at night trying to figure out something, he's probably thinking about the same kind of issues. So go ahead and tweet him. Fantasy issues. Fantasy football, let me be clear. Fantasy
right.
Football issues. Tweet him about that. Other stuff, you don't tweet him about that. JD, we always appreciate it. Is there anything else the people need to know? Any other nuggets you want to throw out before you go?
How's your golf game?
How is your golf game?
Golf game is not too bad. I actually played, I went out and played Roy Kaiser on Labor Day. That was my last round, and shot a cozy level 59. So,
Chad's soul is broken right now. Oh,
wind
God.
Is not blowing at all, and that golf course is not nearly as hard when you're not looking at a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind. So
you feel better, Chad?
It was a good day.
Oh,
it
man.
Wasn't windy.
Oh, trust me, I already knew how far I was away from JD. Hey, JD, on the other side of golf, I played 9 holes this week. I had 3 pars, and I thought I was pretty cool.
I mean, you're improving, man.
I know. He knows. Yeah, I know. Once football starts, I don't get to play a lot. But there were no eights, no snowmen on the card, JD. That's important.
I'm telling you, when you can eliminate the high numbers, it'll bring everything down. You know,
that's it.
That's the thing. Keep the ball in play, and don't hit in hazards and are out of bounds, and a lot of that'll fix your problem.
That's it. I got good and bad news. Good news, 2-putt. Bad news for 7, but that's okay. It wasn't 8. It wasn't
not a
eight.
Snowman. Stay away from the snowman.
That's right, JD.
The glass is half full.
That's it. Half full. JD, we hope the wind is not blowing and you're hitting them straight. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. See
Thanks, brother.
J.D. Lewis, the most anti-wind golfer I think I know. He checks the wind more than anything else when he's going out to play golf. If it's windy, he's not going.
I remember when you and Bo did a show together, the three of y'all did a show.
Yep.
And J.D. talking about that, he's like, I won't go out if it's a certain amount of wind. And I thought because he's got that hair, he's got better hair than we do. He's got hair that kind of flop up in the wind.
JD has great hair. Yeah.
So I thought maybe it was a vanity thing, but it's about his game. So I appreciate that more.
Yeah, I've played golf with him. I've played golf with Bo, and they're both highly impressive. Impressive to play golf
wasn't
with.
Wasn't Bo a pro for a little while?
I think he was, yeah.
I mean, as someone not a professional golfer.
Yeah, but like a golfer. Yeah, yeah. A teaching pro is there what they call those. Yes, I believe he was at one point. They are both incredible. Great to talk to JD. Thanks for all your questions. That's a popular segment each week. People throw us a lot of stuff on the Specs text line and voicemail line. We hope you did the same. And speaking of, we can check the voicemails coming up at 337-3776. And we're also going to get a little big three for you. The Aaron Hernandez story takes a crazy turn. What does it mean for the NFL? We will get into that. Plus, you got college football and the NFL on tonight, just to pick what you want. And we got Tom Herman coming up for you a little bit later on. So keep it right here on the Horn.
Forget a ballad was born upon a demo of a fly love song. Didn't take long before the archer with
Chad
the
and Kevin with you on a Thursday. De La Soul with a birthday today. What's his name again, Trey? Say it, because it's a fantastic musical name.
I don't have it in front of me. There's no way I'll remember it.
Yeah, it's like a long, drawn-out, wonderful name. It's not like the guy's name was, you know, John Johnson or something. But happy birthday. To a member of De La Soul.
I thought that was a circus thing, with Russians jumping around.
De La Soul would be hip-hop, right? That's not... Is that hip-hop or is that rap? Or is it both?
I mean, one is kind of the other, but okay. I think it's more hip-hop than rap.
More hip-hop? Okay, gotcha. Happy birthday to those folks. Bill Murray has a birthday today. We had a Bill Murray section of the show today. That's up on hornfm.com if you want to go check that out from hour number one. If you are a fan of the scary stuff, Stephen King is 70 years old. I'm sure he's thrilled on his 70th birthday because it... I think is making a huge run at the box office right now.
Oh, is that the new movie?
The new It is out there, and my wife is really excited to go see it, and all the horror fans are pumped about it, and so I think it's going to make a ton.
It's making his birthday good. He was worried about making Rent this month.
Oh, so. It was close. I mean, it was tight.
But obviously, at that age, if you're going to do something, you want it to be acclaimed, and so far it sounds like that. Are you into Stephen King stuff? I mean, I don't like to get scared.
Not the scary stuff, no. Some of the stuff. Some of the other stuff, yes.
Did you like the sketch comedy stuff he did?
Well, I mean, he's Stand By Me was Stephen King.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And then Shawshank Redemption is him.
Okay, which is still, but I didn't know that.
Based on a story that he
interesting.
Wrote.
Interesting. Yeah, glad you said that. I thought everything was Kathy Bates and legs getting cut off.
Now, I don't know what kind of mood he has to get in to write normal stuff and not the wacky stuff, but a couple times he's done it over the years.
It's whenever he's depressed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When he gets really sad, he stops writing.
He flips
the horror.
Around.
Yeah. Then he writes Stand By Me. All right. So if you're just jumping in, let's get you the big three. We'll get you all caught up on sports stuff.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
Let's go with the NFL first. Rams at the Niners tonight. We're sorry in advance. Cowboys at the Cardinals on Monday night. We'll have that one for you, of course, on the Horn. Houston at New England. We'll see what kind of game that is. And remember, tonight we join the game after Tom Herman and the Longhorn Weekly Show. We'll join it at 8 o'clock, the NFL game. Tonight, Charlie Strong in South Florida. Oh, they're about an hour away from playing Temple. They already have three penalties. ESPN at 6:30 on your TV if you want to check that one out. Also, Nebraska needs a new AD. They fired Sean Eichhorst today. That one is big. And Arkansas running back Devwa Whaley may not play. The broken jaw is... apparently, courtesy of a teammate.
I read on cell. I mean, I didn't have it. Dennis Dodd didn't write it, but I read from enough viable sources that, yeah, apparently there was something going on with the team. But with your team, everything's going on. So,
yeah.
Who knows? I mean, like I said, this is going to be an S show.
Oh, it's going to be a wild game on Saturday.
One other college football note that came down. You see, Clemson lost their place kicker?
No. What happened?
Greg Heigl to a torn ACL.
Oh, my God.
So he was a Groza Award semifinalist. I understand 90 kickers are on that. I mean, Rowan maybe.
That dude's good, though.
But he's good. Yeah. And for them, he tore his ACL in his right knee on a field goal attempt late in Wednesday night's practice.
Oh, my God.
Or Wednesday's practice.
He tore his ACL. Is he a right-footed kicker?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
He tore his ACL while kicking the ball. That's crazy.
And Dabo said it was a freak accident.
Oh,
2-minute drill.
That sucks. All right, Clemson's going to need a new kicker. It could become important.
Yeah, could.
Obviously, could be end up in some close games.
Junior Alex Spence will take over.
All right, so you got all that going on in football. A couple other notes for you. Not nose for you, but notes for you.
What do you know's good?
That's right. What do you know good? The Aaron Hernandez story, he did have CTE, stage 3 CTE, and a lawsuit has been filed on behalf of his daughter against the NFL and the Patriots. That is getting very deep and very crazy. We won't go too far into it, just to let you know it's there as a story. Also, Kevin, did you hear who's going to jail for 8 years? Because I know you know who this guy is. And I'm going to give you hints. I know that you'd want this guy.
Did he kick here?
Nope.
Okay.
I know you'd. That's funny. I know you.
I don't know what Michael Pollack's up to these days.
That's fair. That is fair. You don't have Chris Stockton's number.
Where's Wayne Clemens?
That's right. That's fair. If you had a fly ball to right field and a guy was on third, you might want this guy trying to gun him down. From back in the day.
Andre Dawson?
Big time arm in right field. Not Andre Dawson.
Roberto's dead.
I didn't quite get you there. Sorry.
Vlad?
Raul Mondesi.
Whoa! No, that's an arm? No, I mean, that would have been, it took some time, but.
Mondesi's going to jail for 8 years.
Number?
Raul, no clue.
43, I think.
43, all right.
He was one of those rookie of the years. They had 5 of them, right?
Well, maybe they can put that in his prison number because he's going to jail for corruption and mishandling of public funds while serving as the mayor of his hometown.
Ugh.
He's been the mayor of San Cristobal.
I hate to be this guy. How many mayors would have gone to jail for that, though, if it would have been found? Or just public officials in general?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, they're the ones that have put the behavior out there for hundreds of years, so I'm just talking about it.
Yeah, I guess. That's,
not all, that's, but a lot. Fair. I mean, that's unfortunately.
Fair. Yeah.
Doesn't make this right.
The amount is equivalent to $1.27 million for defrauding. Jeez. Defrauding more than $6 million during his time as mayor from 2010
That's a lot.
To 2016. 3 of his staff members were also sentenced.
That's a lot. Yeah. Now, where was he? Where was he? What city?
San Cristobal in the Dominican, his hometown.
Oh, he's in the Dominican.
He's the mayor. He was the mayor of his hometown until 2016.
That's sad.
That's crazy stuff,
isn't
it?
Raul.
Wild stuff. All right, there's your big three. How about we check the voicemails? 337-3776 is the Specs text line and voicemail line. Trey, any voicemails from the good people today?
Huh. Yeah, looks like we do have 3 voicemails.
Interesting. 3 voicemails. All right, let's hear what they sound
like. Welcome back, brother. Welcome back.
Voicemail number 1.
Hey, guys. It's Junkie Hastings. Just looking for a fix, man.
Wow.
So we've got Munchie Hastings, we've got Chunky Hastings, and now we've got Junkie Hastings. You know, when you block someone like you did on the real Monkey Hastings, you started this, son.
Still can't believe you think I would have that ability. Next, I was about to say next blitzer. Voicemail number 2.
Keep in mind, Astro fans, even if Houston doesn't get the best record in the National League, in the American League, they are a fantastic road team, a better road team than a home team.
That was a drunk voice.
337-3776. All you got to do is just say, KD, here's my dealer. I expect it to be 512. Maybe it's not.
Oh, man, that is fantastic.
Maybe it's like out in, I don't know, Marcus.
I've avoided it for 2 voicemails. Let's see if we can get out of here without it. Voicemail number 3.
Hey, guys.
Monkey, I missed you.
Guess what? I'm not grounded anymore.
Good.
I got my phone back.
There was some animosity in that voice just
there
now.
There absolutely was, and there should have been.
A little attitude there.
There should have been.
That is
weird. We can't prove it, but we know you blocked her.
Come on, man. I really think that's an accusation that you don't need to be making.
I don't know.
Do you see the size of this computer? Do you know what kind of an old man I am with technology?
Stop. Non-denial denial.
Stop slow playing this.
I couldn't block someone if I tried. I tried to block someone on Twitter for 3 months one time and then just stopped. I have no idea how to do that.
Not true. You're like me. You've realized we're not good at technology. But if you're not good and you recognize that people already know that, well, I can just get I can get around a lot of stuff.
It's like
not have to deal with a lot of stuff and just play completely dumb.
It's like Uncle Leo stealing batteries at the bookstore. Yeah. Oh, what do I know? I'm old.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Now, the direct question, did you block Monkey Hastings?
How dare you is all I'm going to say.
That's such a yes.
How dare you?
Look at him.
How dare you?
It's a yes.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well done, because it took us a long time to figure it out.
I wanted to see how long it would take, and it did take a little while.
Chad said that yesterday during the break. He goes, I thought you guys would have been all over this a lot quicker. I was like, I just figured, I don't know, the guy found a girlfriend or something like that?
I thought, and the interesting part was...
Or a fleshlight?
I thought, if they don't figure it out, how is it going to fix itself if it does? And then what happened was, what is it? The guy actually was creepy enough to DM you on...
Cared enough
to DM you on Twitter. And
fake Monkey Hastings slipped into my DMs on Twitter.
Don't you slip there.
Oh, my God.
And let me know what was going on, and it took me 2 days to finally figure out how to unblock him.
All right, so I'm just going to let you know, here are
and
the rules.
And a day to actually open up the DM.
That's true, too.
Creepy Monkey Hastings guy, here are the rules. I do not discuss your messages with my child or my wife anymore, but if they mention them to me on multiple occasions, we may have to put the old blocky-poo on you again.
No, I don't think so.
Because I did that for my wife and my child because they were telling me they were sick of it.
I don't worry about your wife and you in multiples. I just don't think it's going to be.
Come on. How dare you?
Another issue.
How dare you?
What are they doing listening to this show?
Well, that's a whole other question. All right.
Your wife should be on. I'm about to give the
You
want
to finish that sentence?
I was about, she should be on depression meds married to you and a lot of meds. But about to give another radio station. She should be listening to Stephen Michael Kerr. How about that? Not sure if he's on the air anymore.
I have no idea where that was headed.
Stephen Michael Kerr?
Stephen Michael Kerr.
Longtime FM DJ here. Played the type of music I liked.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
80s.
Soft and corny.
Soft, corny 80s stuff.
Soft, weak, and no spine or soul. That's what I like.
Safe enough for even the craziest Caucasians. All right. Chad's crap bag is coming up. I said that like I wasn't Chad. My crap bag is coming up.
You're lying all over the place. You don't even know your name anymore. You don't know you anymore.
Coming up, a story that sounds kind of bad, but it's actually good. We'll give you another NFL note and the update on Ricky Williams and Trey and blocking on Twitter and all that good stuff. Ricky's got a story out there we may need to let you know about. This is The Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Oh, that is a scary thought going into a crap bag on a Thursday. All right, so...
it's good to hear from her.
If you are a boxing fan, you might have heard this today. In a way, it's a bad story, but I also think it's a really good story. Pound for pound, some people think he's the best pound for pound fighter in the world right now. Unified light heavyweight champ Andre Ward is leaving the sport. Quote, I want to be clear. I'm leaving because my body can no longer put up with the rigors of the sport, and therefore my desire to fight is no longer there. If I cannot give my family, my team, and the fans everything that I have, then I should no longer be fighting. Andre is 33 years old. He leaves with an undefeated record. He is a really good analyst on boxing. If you've ever heard him breaking down fights for HBO, he's kind of already got a gig doing that. So he's going to make the transition. But bravo to Andre Ward. Those last two fights were where he was able to, you know, get that championship and definitively beat Kovalev the second time. So good for him. And Kevin, I like hearing a story of somebody at that age, 33, walking away from boxing before it gets too far gone.
Yeah, I mean, our generation didn't give much at all. I mean, I'm not even sure we have an identity. But our generation and below, there seems to be a separation and some growth and really perspective is the right word in understanding what you're doing athletically and maybe even for a living, and it feeds your ego. And, oh, yeah, we're all still trying to breathe and stay on Earth.
Yeah.
Let's not, as you know, we get smart and we create languages, right, and we think we get more developed. That's still the end game every day, right?
That's it.
Okay.
Got to be here.
And not just breathing here, but knowing you're here.
He also brought up, it's not just people see fight night, but all that it takes to get you to fight night. And he literally described the pain of it, the physical pain that you go through. He says, last couple years, I've been just kind of biting down on the mouthpiece and getting through it, but now I can't do it anymore. So bravo.
Good for him.
Bravo to him. If there is a sport that we talk about, and we don't talk a ton of fighting, but we talk about it every once in a while. If there's a sport that you need to leave, if you feel like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this, I think that may be number one.
Ice skating, two. Bowling, three.
I would agree. Yes.
And mainly because of bowling, because if you don't have the love to drink, fart, and sit, then what are you doing here?
That's a fair point. I think that goes for anybody, not just bowlers.
That is the motto.
Yes,
at the Hall of Fame, right? Where is the Hall of Fame? Cleveland?
That is correct. The Bowling Hall of Fame. Somebody's going to text it to us. I don't know. Top of my head, don't know.
I bet you it's in Pennsylvania.
Okay, that's a good guess. I like that. Also, out of the NFL, did you see this? Some NFL players want a month dedicated to social activism. A group of players, you'll be shocked to hear these names, Michael Bennett, Malcolm Jenkins, Torrey Smith, and Anquan Boldin authored this letter to the NFL saying, quote, among other things, quote, we would like November to serve as a month of unity for individual teams to engage and impact the community in their market.
I mean, is anyone going to say no to that?
Oh, well, the NFL might.
I'm sorry. Anyone who's rationally looking at this and saying, is this a bad thing?
Well, right. I totally agree with you there. We'll see what the NFL does with it, because I asked a key question.
I'm leaving. I'm going to go do some charity.
Okay.
I mean, that's all. I mean,
loser.
Yeah, I'm not going to question you or stop you.
Trey brought up a point earlier during their show in the middays. By the way, middays with Trey and BK, 11-1 right here on the horn. But the point he brings up is the one everybody's going to bring up. The NFL will look at this and ask one question. How do we make money off of it?
God.
And that's the thing. I don't know that you can make money off of activism.
Don't pay your douchebag president or not president. What is commissioner? $50 million or $45 million, whatever he's making
maybe
a year.
Here's what I would tell him. All you guys that are trying to put this together, you only need one thing. You need a color. That's it. Find your color. Because if you get a color that you can put on NFL stuff, well, then, Trey, the NFL's jumping in, aren't they?
You're talking about pink bat.
Right.
Yeah.
The pink stuff they do in October. But you got to get them a color. They find a color that's not being used, that you feel like it's neutral enough or whatever. And then I think maybe the NFL's in.
That's what I was thinking, too, as you were saying that, Chad. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing. Once you figure that out, all of a sudden, whether it's the pink gear or the camouflage gear or whatever else, you can do that with all of the little extras like gloves and towels and things like that, and even the specific uniforms for each team, too.
Ooh, I got an idea. I got an idea, but I don't know if they're going to like it, because this, a lot of people think it's very un-American to be socially active and help your communities in certain ways, and people get...
Who says that?
People get weird about what... Well, about players talking about it,
oh,
right?
Okay,
it's not
okay,
a player's
I got you,
point.
I got you.
But what about red, white, and blue?
Talk sports! I don't want to hear anything else!
What about red, white, and blue... like stripes, because there's a color for everything, right? There's prostate.
I like that idea.
You know, prostate cancer's blue, and all these different things have colors. What if you went red, white, and blue? It's got an America vibe to it. They do what some of these college teams do. Make your logo. Baseball teams have done it, right? On 4th of July, the red, white, and blue with
red,
the stars
blue, yeah.
Logos. NFL can make a barrel full of money, and the players get to feel like their messages get out there.
I feel like the chest-thumping Patriots who may be lured in the most by that are the ones that would be the most opposed to the NFL going down this road.
That's what I'm... Yeah, that's...
Yeah, no,
right.
that's a fair point.
That's going to be really confusing. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's out there in the NFL. Also, if you are running around today and you're thinking, well, I heard this Ricky Williams story. Why aren't the guys talking about it? My answer is it wasn't that big a deal, but just to update you, Ricky Williams was arrested for outstanding traffic warrants. He got pulled over because he didn't have a rear license plate.
Okay.
They pulled him over.
You want to get that fixed.
Yeah, you do. They checked the info and said, he's got outstanding traffic warrants. So
you want to get that fixed.
The law says you go to jail at that point. So he went to jail. Eventually, he pays a fine, and he's, you know, I guess he's been released now or whatever. But, yeah, it's just kind of a cover your details story.
Completely agree.
Right?
And I'm guessing Ricky would say that. I've always said I think Ricky's a good human being.
Right.
I don't know him extremely well. I know him well enough to, I think I can say it, I think he's a good person. And obviously a different guy and a bright guy. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things you just got to obviously take care of that. And because otherwise, I'm sure he was a little embarrassed by it. But did he do anything to where you look at him differently as a person? No. I mean, he didn't rob a bank.
No, obviously not.
He
yeah.
beat the hell out of someone on Manchac Road just for S&Gs.
It also probably shows us that somebody hasn't followed him somewhere in a while. Like, I always notice stuff going on like the back of my wife's car when I follow her somewhere.
I don't think I would go to...
So maybe nobody followed Ricky in a while to say, oh my God, dude, did you know you didn't even you don't have a back license plate?
I'm not sure I would drive to Walgreens that's a block away if I didn't have that.
But did he know he didn't have it is the question. Did Ricky know that detail is the question.
Did it fall off?
I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, when you're a guy like Ricky, he could have blocked someone on Twitter and they could have found out where he was and ripped it off as he's in HEB.
Could be.
I mean, there are sickos out there that I'm sure have been blocked on Twitter by him that even maybe talk about it on the radio, Chad.
Yeah.
And
that could, oh yeah, people have done that. People
took a little while for you to get there, but I'm glad you're here.
People have done that.
Trey?
I was just by total happenstance behind Ricky in his Tahoe a couple weeks ago, and he had his license plate on the car at that time. So I think somebody may have.
He also had four tires of that, you know.
When he stopped to get Tex-Mex over off of Manchac and William Cannon, somebody may have accidentally taken the license plate off of his car, and he obviously never realized as much.
It is tough.
We are getting text here, a lot of them. We appreciate it. You're not going to believe where the Bowling Hall of Fame is.
Okay.
And I honestly kid around a lot on this show. I'm really disappointed in both of you.
Honolulu.
No, it's in Tulsa or Oklahoma City, isn't it?
No.
Grand Prairie.
No.
Waxahachie.
You guys are getting close.
Ennis.
It's not that bad. If it was in Waxahachie, I'd really be on you.
Don Carter Lane's in North Dallas.
It's in Arlington.
Is it really?
At Six Flags.
No, it's not.
That's what they said, yeah.
Which Bowling honestly, Hall of Fame is at Six Flags.
Honestly, even if that's not right, I want to believe that, because that just makes sense.
That sounds too dumb to make up.
No, it is recent. They decided to replace the Confederate part of Six Flags with the Bowling Hall of Fame, so that Six Flag now is some sort of bowling flag.
Oh, my God. You're going to get emails on that, and I'll answer them all. Forward them to me. That was fantastic.
Did they just think that, well, I mean, where would all of our Hall of Famers frequent?
That's good stuff.
Even the ones without kids.
Oh, my God. I hope people get to laugh at their job as much as I get to laugh at my job. 6 o'clock hour coming up. Craig Way Sports Report is coming up at about 6:30. We'll get you the big three, get you all caught up. Coming up, we'll talk college football. There's some games you got to pay attention to this weekend. Some upsets brewing, upset alerts, and all that good stuff. Plus, I have some advice for you UT fans out there. And basically, my advice is for you to listen to Trey. I'll explain coming up on the Horn.